And we proudly let you know that this edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience, safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. Harbor Air, a virtual translink to the coast. You can find them at harborair.com. Well, hello. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. Thank you for being here, for subscribing and listening, and for clicking on the like. We all want to be liked. It's the first of two specials on the Vancouver International Wine Festival, which did not happen last year, of course, and just barely got finished in 2019, just literally days before the pandemic was confirmed and everything started to shut down. And so it's a celebration of sorts. Not as many people in the room this year, just precautionary. And Harry Hershick, the executive director, will explain. So he's going to kick it off, as he always does, as he always has with us. Harry Hershick, Lindsay Schatz, the winemaker at Time Family Wines. Ross Baker, the winemaker at La Friends on the Naramata Bench. Dan Irving, our connection to California's extremely popular wines from Bread and Butter. Mike Raffin from Township 7 and Howard Soon from Vanessa. We welcome the very talented winemaker at Cedar Creek, Taylor Whalen. And we finish off this week with Soft Crush, the company out of Calgary, run by Mark Caspira. And they brought with them fabulous non-alcohol bubble wines, and everybody was leaning in to try them. So that's this edition. Next week, we'll be talking to Tony Haller, the owner of Poplar Grove, Mark DeVere, who speaks on behalf of all things Mondavi, and Ray Signorello from the Golden Mile in Napa, who lost his winery and part of his legacy to the Napa fires and is rebuilding and repouring. So that's next week. If you're ready, here we go. Enjoy. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs. Things to check out this week. Proper Man at the Broken Hearts Club in Crown of Thieves. Outdoor movie night tonight, Saturday, at Truck 59. Austin Sawchuk, June the 5th. And the features of the week, the 2021 Screaming Frenzy Rosé and the 2017 I'm Your Huckleberry, a delightful blend of Malbec and Cab Franc. All the details at jasonparkscustoms.com. It's 1:15, and it's time to start this edition of Tasting Room Radio, brought to you by Harbor Air. Just over my shoulder, right below me, is the Vancouver downtown destination that we fly into. Harbor Air, safe, efficient, fun, the best way. It is absolutely quintessential West Coast travel, right there. No two ways about it. He is the executive director of the Vancouver International Wine Festival. He's Harry Hershick. We cannot start these interviews without speaking to Harry. And I do the same thing every year, Harry, besides how are you and how are the 2 years? And then we'll go over the numbers. How are your 2 years?
I just get up every day and you just try to do the right thing and keep the car tuned, the garden healthy, and your body in some pretty good shape. And then not try to overthink what the future holds, but make sure that relationships like our staff, our volunteers, our board members, our committee members, our agents, just stay in contact with people. And you can't have a plan A or B or C or D. You just have to move forward every day. And then when you hit a fork in the road or an intersection where you have to make a key decision, you just make the best decision possible and you keep moving forward. You know, that's what the grapes do. If there's like a storm or something, or a heat wave, or there's high heat, the grapes shut down. But then when conditions are good, you move forward. That's what we've done. We only missed one festival. We dodged a bullet. Our last day was March 1st, 2020, and now we're back.
If you were a grape, what varietal would you be?
I feel like saying Syrah.
Because?
Well, because there's cool climate Syrah, there's warm climate Syrah, there's hot climate Syrah. It's a pretty feisty, adaptable grape. It doesn't have the respect of Cabernet Sauvignon or, you know, the elegance of Pinot Noir. It goes well in blends. It's good on its own.
It's a fighter.
You can co-ferment. You can do it in a field blend. I don't know. Syrah came to mind.
Okay, fine. I'll leave it at that. So what was the moment that told you that you were back in business?
We laid off our staff for a year, and legally, there reaches a point where you have to pay out severance packages. So it becomes cheaper to bring staff back than it is to pay them out. So I know that just sounds like a really cold, analytical answer, but that happened around early fall. And what I was grateful is that the festival was not in February. We were able to move it to May. And then all the signs, we didn't have to worry about raiding Christmas stock or being in a pandemic in the winter. I felt that if we were in May, that we had enough time for some of the supply chain challenges, some of the timeline crunches, and some of our budgetary gymnastics. We could get the team together. We still did things on a very tight timeline. And here we are.
What about the wineries? Do they hum and haw, or were they waiting to get back at it?
The wineries that are here are the ones that went right back at it. So let's say we usually have 50 agencies participating with the 162 wineries. This time we're participating with 31 agencies. So what I've been saying the last couple months is please don't come to the wine festival. If you're feeling anxious and you're holed up in your home and you're not ready to go to a restaurant, I don't think the wine festival is your coming out party. And so the wineries and the agents and the ticket buyers are here are the ones that have an element of bravery and spirit. And other people, you know what? It's okay. We'll be back next year, but we're at half capacity. Let's allow these enthusiastic agents and wineries, give them a chance to come back. We don't have to be come back like all at once in stages. You can see the people who are coming this year. Okay, there's not 160 wineries, there's 100 wineries, there's only 500 wines to taste, but look at the elbow room. You'll never have this much space ever again.
And if you want to, you can hug people.
You know, I've been hugging people for 4 days. I don't know what my future holds, but I'm feeling healthy and I'm feeling like, you know, Zoom, all it does is solves a few problems and it helps things from falling into the abyss. But if you want to grow forward, if you want to move forward and build and inspire, you have to be in person. You have to go to a live concert. You have to drink wine and food in a restaurant. You have to be with friends and with community and with your industry members. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it, Terry. Back.
Are you feeling the Semillon that I poured you from Kronos?
I have a lot of respect for Semillon with producers like Sumac Ridge, McWaters. You were mentioning Lefrenz.
Bartier.
And Bartier, man, that guy kills it on Semillon. It's an underrated grape. Okay, you said Syrah for red. I'm going to go Semillon on the white, okay?
Okay. When will you proclaim this to be a success this year?
Well, I usually do that after everyone gets home safely. Last festival, when Andrew Jefford, our keynote speaker, said, "Oh my God, Harry, you dodged a bullet," I woke up March 2nd thinking I had gotten through it. But then I didn't watch the news during the last festival because, like, you know, every event you just go at it. But then I was reading, it's like, it's not over till 14 days. So I have to realize that, you know, I'm not going to be fully settled for like 10, 14 days after the final festival to make sure that everyone's healthy, everyone got home safely. You know, it's kind of like Stanley Cup playoffs. You got every shift, every period, every game. You can't start thinking about the future too much. You got to like one session at a time. And so we're halfway through week-wise, and we're, you know what? We have 26 events, 27 events this year. I believe this is event number 14. We're at the halfway mark, Terry.
Good. Nice. Last thing, just a thought. What I like most about these people in this room and the wine fans that are coming for the evening tastings is that the winery sold tons of wine. If they had their game together, had their websites going, we, the wine fan, went looking for those wines to support them and to get ourselves through as well. It worked out beautifully.
Wineries did well. Restaurants, tough go. And at the wine festival and in the trade days, we're bringing all the segments of the wine industry, the wine community together. We had a panel this morning talking about the challenges of the last couple of years. And we all just have to, there isn't one way to enjoy wine. Direct to consumer is great, particularly for British Columbia wineries. But the number one reason people come to the Vancouver International Wine Festival is to try new wines, to taste new grapes, and to find new wines that they can be passionate about. And you can't just do that online.
Well, you can hear the man's passion. Harry Herchik, the executive director of the Vancouver International Wine Festival. What year, sir?
This is year 43. And I've been to everyone since 1987 when we were at the Hyatt. And yeah, we've been at the convention center since 88. So
congratulations.
It's hard to let go of this. This is a great tradition, Terry. It's great to see you.
Thank you, Harry.
This is Tasting Room Radio.
Lindsay Schatz is the winemaker at Time Family Wines. Have you? When's the last time you were on a float plane?
I have never actually been on one.
Do you have any idea what it's like, what it feels like?
No. I think it's about time.
First of all, nice to meet you finally. This is the family pour today. So how big is the family? How wide is the portfolio today?
Yeah, so we have three tables here for the next 3 days. So we've brought our three brands, Evolve and Kronos and McWaters, with us.
Did you bring Harry's last bubble?
Yes, we did. You can find that at the McWaters table.
Now, how do you differentiate between... they each have their styles. They each have their statement. They each have their fans. So where do you start your pour?
Yeah, so our idea is kind of that we're catering to different styles of drinkers in each of our brands.
And there are different styles of drinkers, as we all know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So where do you start? What's your entry level?
So our first level would be our Evolve wines, and those are for some playful drinkers, easy drinkers, maybe people just getting into the wine industry. From there, we move on to Kronos, and these are for a bit more adventurous drinkers, a little bit more of a sophisticated palate. And then from there, we go up to McWaters, which usually has a lot more oak used in these wines, different blending techniques, and definitely our high-end drinkers there.
When did you come along?
I have been with the winery for 3 years now.
Okay, so how much Harry did you absorb just from his history?
Yes, so I only got 1 week with Harry before we lost him.
Did you have conversations?
Yeah, coffee a couple times in the morning, and Harry was actually the person who hired me, so I spent some time with him in the interview process, but as far as time at the winery, it was quite limited.
What did he tell you about his vision for wine? Because, you know, they're all disciples of Harry McWaters. What did he tell you that helps you today in the making of your wine?
Yeah, just a big focus on quality, big focus on where the wines come from, and doing everything with intention.
And don't sell the wines short, and don't sell the wine fan short as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where'd you do your training?
I studied at Charles Sturt University in Australia.
And what was your specialty then? I mean, did you lean into shards or big reds? What?
So that was a Bachelor of Winemaking that I did, and I was living in the Yarra Valley while I was doing that. So the popular wines there and the wines that grew best there were Chardonnays and Pinot Noirs.
What are you pouring from Kronos?
So today we have a Semillon from Kronos. So it's a really small batch wine that we make and pretty crucial as well to our McWaters White Meritage blend.
Actually, the words small batch, Okanagan, and Semillon kind of go together because nobody makes a lot of Semillon and I'm always looking for it.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Where did you find your vineyard?
So this vineyard is right in between Phantom Creek and Burrowing Owl on the Black Sage Bench. Comes from a very sandy site. Anytime we're walking through there or driving through there, it just ends up being this big dust bowl.
You didn't steal Michael Barchier's grapes, did you?
I hope not.
Because he's the guy, he's always been waving the Semillon flag.
Yeah, there's not that many of them out there, so I was pretty excited to get my hands on this little parcel, yeah.
And so what is it about Semillon, first of all, that you like, and more importantly, that people still don't understand?
Yeah, so for me, I like how it's so versatile. So we can kind of treat it like a little bit like a Chardonnay, so we can add some oak into there and get a little bit more texture, or we can leave it on its own, and it tends to be quite tropical, grown in the right regions here.
Did you blend some salve with it?
Not in this one, but we do blend some Sauv Blanc into our White Meritage for
when
it.
When it's gotten right, you know it's really good. Right?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Now, can this cellar?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, for sure. And I would actually suggest that with this wine.
Now, this is a 2020. What's the oldest Sem you've been tasting?
So this is actually our first single varietal Sem that we've put out.
All right, so it starts here, obviously.
Absolutely, yeah, right here, right now.
But I mean, say you bought three bottles and you drank one and hid two on yourself, how long would you give it in bottle to then go back and taste?
Yeah, I'd say another 3 to 5 years.
Okay, we're pouring this Chronos Semillon 2020. Lindsay Schatz is the pour-e. What were you telling me about the pour?
Yeah, so half of the Semillon from this parcel went into oak barrels for ferment, and 20% of those were brand new. The other half was in stainless steel. The portion that was in barrel went through full malolactic fermentation, while the portion in stainless did not. And then we put them back together again.
What was the blend like? I mean, when you started, what were you expecting?
I think that Semillon can hold oak, so I wanted to see how well it could hold that oak. And never having worked with this vineyard before, and not really this variety that often either, it was kind of my idea just to give it a little bit more of a mouthfeel with that oak.
And do you lean stainless steel or oak, you personally?
Depends on the variety that we're making. I really like both portions of this wine, and sometimes I'm hesitant to even put them back together because I think they could stand on their own really well, but I think that we already have enough SKUs in our lineup. So,
so when you put them together, was it 50-50?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And when you hit that spot, did you like it? I mean, you obviously.
Yeah. Yep. I was really happy with it and did much the same with our 2021.
Thank you for bringing this over.
No problem.
Okay, let's taste that in just a second, but I need to know what else is on the table so people understand the length of what you're pouring today.
Okay, yeah, so for Evolve, we have a couple of our sparkling wines and a couple aromatic whites and then our red blend. At the Chronos table, we also have a sparkling. I think you're going to find that to be our theme. We'll always be starting with sparkling. And then we have Sauv Blanc, our Sem, some Rosé, and a Cab Franc. And then at our McWaters table, we have Harry's Sparkling, which I think everybody should try if they get a chance to go over there. Chardonnay, White Meritage, and a Red Meritage.
I did an interview with Krista Lee, and she was explaining Harry's last. But she said, oh, and by the way, there is Harry's last, and her voice caught. We had to take a deep breath for about 10, 12, 15 seconds, and then she picked it up. She realized that she was saying to all of us that this was Harry's last wine.
Yeah, it's really special, really something sentimental.
Have you got a wine that you would like to introduce to us down the road?
Yeah, so this year we've added a new one. So we have a Blanc de Noir, and it's only going to be maybe just under 100 cases, and it will be done in the traditional method. So pretty excited to release
that. Is that something you wanted to do?
Yeah, we got some Pinot Noir, and it was a really special parcel. I had extra after we blended it into the rest of our sparkling.
It's hanging around.
I said, let's let this stand on its own. And so we're going to put it down for a year and give it that lees contact time, and yeah, we'll bring it out maybe next fall or something.
It's a Semillon from Chronos, and it's being poured by Lindsay Schatz, who I'm sure when she was growing up in Kelowna, her nickname was Schatzy. I know for a fact she would have friends call her Schatzy.
No, that didn't happen.
Not ever?
At all, no.
Not ever?
No.
Thank you for doing this, and I wish you the best of luck and have a smoke-free summer.
Yes, thank you.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs. Things to check out this week. Proper Man at the Broken Hearts Club in Crown of Thieves. Outdoor movie night tonight, Saturday, at Truck 59. Austin Sawchuk, June the 5th. And the features of the week: the 2021 Screaming Frenzy Rosé, and the 2017 I'm Your Huckleberry, a delightful blend of Malbec and Cab Franc. All the details at jasonparkscustoms.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Their tasting room is now open, and the first club shipments of the year are going out. Very happy to report that you have new releases to choose from at Mooncursor: the gorgeous 2021 Roussanne Marsan, the Carmenere 2020, the 2021 Dolcetto, and the 2020 Malbec. Mooncursor, the 2019 best performing small winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com.
Ross Baker, the winemaker at La Friends, has joined me here at the table. We hadn't met before. It's nice to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
What did you know about La Friends and the Okanagan and the Naramata Bench before you started having conversations with them?
I've met Jeff Martin before. Obviously, there was a connection where I came from Quail's Gate Winery, and he was one of the first winemakers at Quail's Gate Winery when he came to the Okanagan. And I knew that they produced high-quality wines on the Naramata bench, and basically every single wine was a standout, very stylistically and in terms of quality. Basically, across the board, I've seen them never hit or never miss on a wine.
Did you know he was a troublemaker?
I've heard stories. I've heard stories about him.
Oh, that's kind. That's kind. That's really good. And very opinionated and very distinctive, very focused on what his wines were going to be.
Oh, yeah, very much so. I think that's very important, is to have a focus, and especially on vineyard quality, too. He's very focused on it as well. So when he's living in that vineyard and he's actually producing that the grape.
He's the first winemaker that I can remember talking about irrigation. He was obsessed with irrigation, getting it right.
Yeah, and he's still obsessed with it. So it's very important to the Naramata bench with the different soil texture and all the different blocks that we have. So he's still very much wanting to carry on the legacy, and that's why his daughter Elise, she was running the vineyards too, and now she's taken over a little bit of the Friends Winery as like nice generational mix.
Well, there's also the handoff between you and Jeff, because these are his babies, these are his wines, right? But you have to be allowed to make the wine that you grow year to year to year. How was that balance?
He is opinionated on it, but he's very much letting the winemaker take care of the wines. When we go to blend, we'll have conversations about them, but he wants to...
You keep us in mind as well, because if we like this Pinot from the year previously, yeah, we want to come back. We don't want the exact same Pinot, but we do want to know that it's a LaFrenz Pinot, right?
Oh, yeah. We very much want to keep it in the same style that the winery's obviously been very successful with, and I don't plan on changing that, and maybe doing a little bit different style on one small thing on the side for small barrel lots for the wine club, but I won't change the main wines.
Ross Baker, winemaker at LaFrenz on the Naramata bench. Gorgeous winery, gorgeous vineyards. What did you bring to pour over at the table?
At our table today, we have our 2021 Sauvignon Blanc, 2021 Chardonnay, our 2020 Reserve Ensemble, which is one of my favorite wines, tasting it just now. We also have our Reserve Pinot Noir and our Malbec that we're pouring today. And I have the Reserve Pinot here for a bit of a sniff.
Where's that vineyard?
This vineyard, so Desperation Hill, yeah, is the main Pinot Noir, it's the only Pinot Noir vineyard that we work off of, just up Naramata Road.
Yeah, no, I was there when we kicked things off, when he said, this is where it's going to be. Yeah. And when we had a little lunch there up the top, he said, this vineyard is going to be, and so it was wonderful to see that it unfold the way it did. How did it turn out?
It turned out absolutely beautiful, I think. That vineyard has a really interesting aspect from the top of the block is where the reserve comes from, where the soil is a little bit more gravelly and free draining. And that, as it gets down further, you get into the more that Munson Mountain sort of silty Naramata soil. And that's where our other Desperation Hill Pinot, which is a little lighter and more fruit concentrated. And this is a little more earthy, complex.
You released them singularly?
The two Pinots?
Yeah.
So we have the reserve that we release, and then we release the Desperation Hill.
I was just kind of wondering, Ross, if you blend the two at some point, top and bottom of the hill.
We do. So we'll pick the best barrels for the reserve,
yeah,
and then the remainder goes into the Desperation Hill portfolio Pinot Noir.
This is a fantastic Pinot. Did you go to the Pinot celebrations over the last couple of years?
I did. I was actually just talking with someone today about what's going to happen with that going forward.
Well, maybe we can talk to Meyer Jack's here somewhere. The thing is that I was astonished, and I should have known better, that of the 35 Pinots, there were 35 different expressions of what a Pinot was.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about Pinot Noir is you give that that grape a different site, and it will produce a wildly different wine. It's even in the same site, you think it's going to be the same, and then between 100 meters to the top and then the bottom of this vineyard, the fruit's completely different.
And it's also what attracts Pinot fans. We want to go on that hunt.
Yeah, we want to have our heart broken. We want to feel the pain of Pinot Noir. We want to feel the beauty.
I want to be humbled. What's the price point on this Reserve 2020 Pinot Noir from Lefrenz?
It is $40 a bottle.
And how many cases?
We only do about 250 cases.
Okay, what's going to be the star of the show then? If not this Pinot, and I haven't been over to the table, what's going to be the slam dunk hit this year for you at the festival?
The hit, other than the Pinot, that Reserve Ensemble is going to be, I think, a hit at our table.
What's in it?
So it is our Sauvignon Blanc Semillon blend. So it is a gorgeous expression of that. And I think the barrel fermented Sauvignon in just neutral oak, but it gives it this great complexity and fleshiness. And the Sem is finished in concrete French eggs. So that gives it a little bit more salinity and body, and then that wine is just phenomenal.
That's a great story, and it boggles the mind. Where'd you get your Sem?
The Sem comes from Kelowna. So everything else that Lefrenz has, we grow it, but then we have one long-term contract of a Kelowna vineyard and very old, gnarly vines, and it pushes all the way into October to pick it, and just produces the most beautiful fruit.
It's fantastic. Okay, thank you for doing this, Ross. I appreciate it very much, and we'll see you down the road.
Thank you, Terry.
Have a good growing season.
I'll see you at the Pinot Noir celebration, hopefully.
This is Tasting Room Radio, a home for passionate fans of food, wine, and friends.
Dan Irving is here pouring one of the most popular labels that you have all seen and known and consumed, Bread and Butter. In front of me is a 2020 Rosé from Bread and Butter. You, being a VP, can you fire everyone in this room? How powerful are you within the company?
Terry, I'm an extremely powerful and dangerous man. You don't want to mess with me. Absolutely not. No. I'm really not that important of a guy, although I'd like to be. But I do have a lot of experience in the wine industry and selling lots of great California wines all over the world. And one of my favorite places to come do that is right here in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Thank you, man. Did you have Patagonia in your suit when you were, or did you put it on for Canada?
I actually wear Patagonia pretty much wherever I go, but especially when I come to Vancouver in May, when it's where I'm from in San Francisco, California, it's typically about 75 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny, and here I come here and it's a good 20 degrees cooler. So I pack my Patagonia.
And a winemaking area. So tell me about Bread and Butter for just a second. The beginnings of it, did it start as just an idea?
You know, it's an interesting history, and I wish that I could claim that I thought of the whole concept myself. I did not. But the guy who did he's just really good at creating really compelling, fun, and interesting brands that consumers love. So the original concept was, let's create, a brand that is just very easy and digestible for consumers to get to know, and uses a phrase that, people use every day. And you think about the term bread and butter and how the different contexts that you use it. Well, I can think of many that I use myself all the time. Oh, it's my bread and butter, it's my go-to, and so on. And so for wine especially, which is, if you think about it, when you're walking down the aisle of a store, whether it be a grocery store in the U.S. or here in Canada down in the liquor store, there's a lot of things, a lot of wines to choose from. And it can be dizzying and complicated. And
I'm thinking Costco. The first time I went into a Costco that had wine in it, it was a wall that went 3,000 feet in one direction, 300 in another. And I thought, how do you possibly know? What are you choosing, favorite bottle caps? size or colors?
Exactly. I mean, it's dizzying and it can be intimidating, especially if you're new to the wine category and you're like, well, where do I go? There's this label and it's got this picture of a chateau on it. It has all these words and things I don't understand. I don't really understand. I don't want to understand. So I'm just going to go over here and buy a beer or, whatever my go-to spirit is or anything like that and just stay away. Well, the thing with wine is it shouldn't really be that complicated. It should be easy and fun and interesting and compelling. So that's the idea. So bread and butter. And then if you look at the label, which I know you can't look at if you're listening online or on the radio, but it's a very simple label. It's white with black lettering and that's it. And it says bread and butter on it, and it has a vintage, which is the year the wine was produced, and where it's from, which is California. And that's pretty much it. And, you know, the guy who actually created this, his mother's favorite fragrance was Chanel No. 5. And you can kind of see the influence on this label, right? And the fragrance industry, well, they know a thing or two about branding and how to make compelling brands.
Dan Irving is here pouring bread and butter. But, you know, that's only half the battle, because the other half of the battle is what's in the bottle, and how does it stay? Does it make you reach for it a second and third and fourth time?
100%. No, that's the thing. It's easy enough. Well, it's not easy, but it's one thing to get people to come and pick your bottle off the shelf and try it. But if they try it and they don't like it, well, they're not coming back, and that's the end of it, and you've lost a customer. So you have to have wine in it that's compelling. For us, the wine style is probably the most important thing that we do. So it's, I would say, very easy drinking wine. That's the theme. So it's well-balanced wines, so nice bit of fruit, but not too much, bit of acidity, but not too much, and not, especially on the red wines, not a ton of what we call tannins, which typically makes the wine a little rougher to drink. We easily make it smoother and easier to drink.
You want the wine to reflect the label and the maker?
100%.
Wow, character. How about that?
Yeah, isn't that a concept? Wouldn't it be nice if we had that in all our product categories, sure?
If bread and butter were a band, who would they be?
Oh, man. Well, that's a great question. You know, my favorite band in the whole wide world, Terry, is Pearl Jam. Yep. So I'm just going to say Pearl Jam.
Cool. What else are you pouring at the table, just so we don't shortchange the others?
Oh, so we've got the rosé here, but we have a Chardonnay, we have a Sauvignon Blanc, and then on the reds, we have a Pinot Noir and a Cabernet Sauvignon.
Did you make your nut with the whites and then introduce the reds later, or was it reds?
It started with Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. And Chardonnay was kind of the most natural place to start because butter is often a term that's associated with Chardonnay, a buttery Chardonnay, meaning that it's gone through what they call malolactic fermentation. So not to get too whiny about it, but that's basically converting acids into malolactic acid. So it's like, it's basically makes the wine a little softer, a little more smooth on the palate. So it's easier to drink. And then also we use French oak, which gives it a nice sweetness to it as well, but not too much. And that gives it a real buttery character. So that's what we started with.
Okay. 12.5 alcohol. Okay. Are we any different from San Francisco buyers?
Well, it's funny you ask that, because I'll tell you, the number one fastest growing market for bread and butter is right here in Canada.
That's because of Matt Thurlwell.
Well, it is because of Matt Thurlwell, in large part. I didn't have to convince him. He understood the concept right away, because he's a very smart guy. But the Canadians, my God, they go crazy for bread and butter. It's our fastest growing market. We're doing like 300,000 cases a year up here in Canada, and it's growing bigger and bigger. We're probably going to become, one of the top five brands in Canada soon. So we're excited.
So what's next? How do you top all of this?
Cool. What is next? That's a great question. I mean, I think we've got to continue to innovate. One of the things you think about the consumers these days, and they're looking for different wines in different formats. They're in cans is one thing. So, or I think it was pouches. Matt was telling me we need to do things, wine in pouches, which I guess is growing here. So you can take the wine out camping. You can have the wine in different occasions and things like that. I think that's going to be a big focus for us.
Okay. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate
Connor
it very
McDavid.
Much.
Sorry. I had to get that in.
Connor McDavid. Connor. Yeah, I see. That's good. Thank you for doing this. This is very cool. I'm glad that you brought the rosé, but I want to come over and taste the others. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Terry. Really great meeting you, and thanks for the time.
Dan Irving is here pouring bread and butter.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Their tasting room is now open, and the first club shipments of the year are going out. Very happy to report that you have new releases to choose from at Mooncursor. The gorgeous 2021 Roussanne Marsan, the Carmenere 2020, the 2021 Dolcetto, and the 2020 Malbec. Mooncursor, the 2019 best performing small winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. They have opened and they're ready for 2022. The Bistro is opened for lunch after a two-year hiatus with a set price two-course lunch, dinner 5 to 9, and most importantly, they also have takeout options. Both the Wine Shop Tasting Room and Bistro are open Wednesday to Sunday and reservations only. They do offer wine sales Monday and Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Two new releases to tell you about, the 2021 Rosé and the 2019 Pinot Noir. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca.
I have to keep moving forward, otherwise I'll have to throw you from the seats. I have Howard Soon at one end of this incredible table, and Mike Raffin, the general manager of Township 7, at the other. How were your 2 years?
Well, you know, I'm pretty happy it's over, but, you know, not bad. I took off 10 instead of putting it on, so I had spare time at home. But, you know, on the business side, with the wine, the winery has just had record years every year. So, you know, and business is good, and the family's good. So,
and what are you pouring today?
We are pouring our Seven Stars collection, which we've now created a new brand because the sparkling is so successful. And it's also Mary's passion. So we're pouring four of them. And we're pouring a Polaris, which is a Chardonnay, Equinox, which is a Pinot Noir Rosé, and we're pouring Rigel, which is a Riesling. And the last and the star of the show is Sirius. And it is a Pinot Noir Chardonnay blend. And it is fabulous. And it's from Fraser Valley Langley property.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's come named on. For a star.
Yeah, and it's named after the star Sirius, the brightest star in the sky.
That's fantastic.
And it's our number one. And when Mary first started, we'd abandoned that vineyard. And she says, no, I can do something here. And I'm passionate about bubble.
And what's really cool about having a vineyard that close to Vancouver is that people can visit a winery from Vancouver.
Wine country experience without leaving the city.
Wow.
Thanks for the lead-in on that, teeing it up.
I just lob them out there. I have Howard Soon and Mike Raffin, the general manager of Township 7. Howard, what brings you here, sir?
Showing my face. People don't know that I've disappeared yet. That's the key thing, Terry. But seeing old friends, too. Lovely people. I've known in the business for a long time. Nice to see them still. It's all good.
How are things at Vanessa?
Good. A little late this year, of course. Cold spring, right? I mean, let's think about it. June 21st is the longest day of the year. That's coming in less than a month. So the vine's got to make up for it right now, or else it's not happening. You know, so I'm not grim about it, though. You know, we have to contend with whatever Mother Nature gives us, right?
How many times have I done interviews and someone said, oh, it was a terrible spring. And then June came along and all of a sudden it was hot. So it all just, I hope there's a balance.
Well, you know, I have some experience in this, right, Terry? The farmers always say, well, it'll make up. It'll catch up. The vines will catch up. Dickie Cleave said to me, the vines will catch up. Okay, 1 year it didn't catch up, Dick. They never did catch up. And that's just, you just got to be ready for it, right? Mother Nature.
Even Dick Cleave can't predict the weather.
No. We all know that. We're all part of it, right? So, yeah, that's what keeps it fun.
I have Howard Soon and Mike Raffin, the general manager of Township 7. How does it feel to be in the room and be actually bumping elbows with people and saying hello and like it's almost normal?
Wow. How good is that? Yeah.
You know, it's like coming in another hot tub time machine. It's kind of like that. Yeah. If something happened, we don't know what, there's a gap. Something that happened, it looks almost the same, but not. It's a little different, I thought. A little feeling a little different. First, not as big, right?
What do you think?
Yeah, there's not as many wineries here. Yeah. Like the aisleways, so you can actually walk
down. You can actually
them.
Move.
Yeah. Even tonight, people might not bump into you like they usually do. You know, people always dump, oh, sorry. You don't even know they bump into you.
The wife wants a red. It's not a bar.
That's what it's like. That's what it can be like. So, Terry, we hope that things come back, and they come back better than they were last, you know, a couple of years ago. I hope so. I hope the wine world is going to come back and see us.
Mike Raffin, general manager of Township 7, and Howard Soon, the winemaker, the legendary winemaker, the much honored winemaker at Vanessa in the Similkameen Valley. What's a one Vanessa wine we can watch for this year?
Well, we release wines pretty late, so the best one we got going right now is Meritus 2016. Okay. 16. That's 6 years old. So, you know, it's been aged in the bottle for 4 years. It's lovely.
Besides the wines that you talked about, anything else we can keep an eye out for?
Well, we are pouring a red to go with our four sparkling, and it is called NBO, and that's an acronym for North Bench Oliver, and it's our estate vineyard, and it's Cabernet Sauvignon followed by Merlot, and it's beautiful right now. Lovely tannins, but nicely managed, and big red to go with beef, if that's what you eat.
Okay. It's nice to bump into you and nice to see you, and the fact that we have survived this.
That's right.
Yeah.
Have a great year.
Thank you, Terry.
Happy to be out.
Thank you. Two wonderful gents, Mike Raffin, general manager of Township 7, and Howard Soon, the winemaker, the legendary winemaker, the much honored winemaker at Vanessa in the Similkameen Valley.
This is Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
Tasting Room Radio at the 43rd Annual Vancouver International Wine Festival. Taylor Whalen is joining me from Cedar Creek. He's the winemaker. All right, so I took you away from your pour over there. First things first, what are you pouring at Cedar Creek?
Yeah, so Cedar Creek, we're running our Estate Sauvignon Blanc and Estate Pinot Noir. And then we've got our Platinum Jagged Rock Chardonnay, Platinum Home Block Rosé, and our Aspect Block 4 Pinot Noir.
Why do you have a large portfolio? Why did you bring those specific pours?
Well, we do have a large portfolio, but they're a good illustration of the varieties we're focused on. So aromatic whites, Chardonnay, and Pinot is really our bread and butter. So we've got aromatic white for Savvy, and then we've Chardonnay and three Pinots, essentially, is what we've got on to kind of round out the flight.
So take a moment and stand back just a bit and tell me about what you think Cedar Creek's place is in the profile of these, well, the trade and the wine fans that come tonight. What do you think the brand name says to them?
Yeah, we occupy an interesting place because we've been around for a while. This is, I think, year 40 for Cedar Creek to have been in operation. But we've also progressed significantly in the last 5 years or so. You know, we've switched to organic farming, organic winemaking. We're very heavily invested in sustainable practices, and we're pushing a lot of boundaries in those areas. So in one way, we're maybe one of the old guard in terms of having old vineyards and being a more established brand. But in other ways, we're pushing boundaries in terms of innovation and quality. So it's a cool place to be.
And how have the wines changed, do you think, in those 40 years?
Well, they're better. I've been at Cedar Creek for 12 years now, so I've seen a big evolution just in my time. And for me, the big change has been moving from conventional to organic farming. That, to me, has been the big positive move we've made. We're seeing much more density and fruit core in the wines. Tannin ripeness is better. Alcohols are lower. All exciting things to see when you're trying to make elegant, tight, kind of long-lasting wines.
And how long did it take for we, the wine fan, to get over the word organic?
People are still trying to figure it out, to be honest. You know, like, it means a lot to us being in the business and understanding the time commitment and how much work is captured in the word organic. People still kind of figuring out what that means for them in terms of consuming the wines. Our goal is to connect organic with quality. We don't want people to think of organic as being $17 Chilean wines. We want them to be $60 Okanagan wines, you know? So that has been our big goal. And our consumers, our club, our members, our regular customers are getting it figured out. The people who are a little less used to the brand, it's taken them a bit longer to kind of work out that organic piece, but I think we're getting there with them too. So,
Cedar Creek, Estate Winery, Taylor Whalen. All right, so any surprises for this summer? You always like to, I always like to see if there's something that you want to tease us with for a release.
So what I'm going to tease you with is joining the Aspect Wine Club. If you do that, you have access to a new rosé, a Symes Vineyard Platinum Rosé, a Jagged Rock Platinum Syrah, and a Haynes Creek Platinum Malbec. These are all under 200 case production, so tiny lots. And you have to be a member of our premium wine club to get access to these wines. So all super, like, really beautiful wines, but very limited allocations. So join the club.
I have to join another club.
Join another club.
Okay. How do you like the hang here? How do you like the room?
It feels good. This is my sixth wine fest, I think. It's a little more open and kind of spread out than it's been in the past, which is kind of nice. You get less of that panicked, like, kind of feel to it. So yeah, things are feeling good, Terry. It's good.
Let's give a shout out to the guys in the restaurant, the bistro, the kitchen, because it's memorable food for me.
That's right. Yeah, Neil Taylor, doing an awesome job as executive chef at Home Block Restaurant. Still knocking it out of the park. Menus changing every week. Like, lots going on. We've got a big organic vegetable garden running at Cedar Creek now. It's providing a lot of food for the restaurant, so that's a pretty cool addition to the program there. And the guys are embracing it from a kind of a local organic perspective. So,
just a one-off. Is that stage still on the property?
Sorry?
That stage, performance stage?
The pavilion is...
Wow, how come we're not using it?
We're using it again. We've just got our acts approved for this year. I'm not going to tell you because I know...
Wow, come on, man.
We got to announce it properly.
When are you announcing it?
We've got three East Coast Canadian acts that are coming across this summer to perform at Cedar Creek.
Okay, let me see if I can guess. Alan Doyle from Great Big Sea. Yes, him. One. That's one.
Accurate guess, I would say. Pretty accurate guess.
I would say you might, even if he was touring, Ashley McIsaac would be a kind of interesting show.
I said he will not be there unless he's a customer.
Okay, let's go. When are you going to announce this?
Very soon, yeah. It'll go out to our wine club members. They get first access to tickets. We've only got 250 seats in the place, and we've got thousands of members, so it's going to be fierce competition to get those tickets.
Matt Anderson.
It's another pretty good guess, I would say.
All right, fine. Cool. All right, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. And good luck with the wines and the growing season. You remember the growing season. Have fun.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Tasting Room Radio at the 43rd Annual Vancouver International Wine Festival. Taylor Whalen is joining me from Cedar Creek. He's the winemaker. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. They have opened and they're ready for 2022. The Bistro is opened for lunch after a two-year hiatus with a set price two-course lunch, dinner 5 to 9, and most importantly, they also have takeout options. Both the Wine Shop Tasting Room and Bistro are open Wednesday to Sunday and reservations only. They do offer wine sales Monday and Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Two new releases to tell you about, the 2021 Rosé and the 2019 Pinot Noir. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Unsworth Vineyards is pleased to be part of this year's Cowichan Wine Festival passport-style tasting event held this year in the month of June. In addition, they will be part of an evening tasting party at Brentwood School August 4th, where you can taste all of the participating wineries in one go under a summer starlit night by the ocean. Details at unsworthvineyards.com. This is a Tasting Room Radio at the 43rd Annual Vancouver International Wine Festival. And I'm walking over to a Soft Crush Rethinking Drinking booth, and Mark Caspira has handed me his Soft Crush card, which is very pretty. Very good. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Nice to see you again.
Here you are, non-alcohol, pouring at a wine festival. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, we're the first non-alc booth at the Vancouver International Wine Festival ever. So,
and are people trying to get a sense of you?
Yeah, people are very curious. They're really curious about this movement and the trend and the way it's going to stay in the market. And they just want to taste, see if there's going to be a fit for their restaurants or retail stores.
I can't believe how familiar the Thompson and Scott organics, especially the pink bubble, the sparkling.
Yeah, the Tempranillo. Yeah, certified organic, certified vegan, delicious bubbles from Spain. Yeah, amazing.
I don't need anything certified anything. I know what my mouth and my nose tell me.
Cool. I'm glad you like it.
You bought some Odd Bird?
Yeah, so the Odd Bird is a brand that's really based out of Sweden, but they produce wines in Europe. So I've got the Spumante, which is 100% Glera from the Veneto. And then the Blanc de Blanc is Chardonnay, 100% Chardonnay from the Languedoc. And then the two still wines are low intervention, certified organic wines from the Veneto as well. The white is Vespaiola and Garganega. And the red is Pinot Nero and Merlot. So they make very small batches, 700 to 800 cases a year, and that's it.
And what else you got? What's the, this is,
and then we've got
what is this guy here, huh?
So Lights is from the Rheingau region in Germany. So we're thrilled to have them on the portfolio. They're a traditional Riesling producer from the Rheingau, and we've got still and sparkling, and then we've got their rosés as well. So we're thrilled to have those in the market as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, the packaging, first of all, you got to admit, the packaging is fantastic.
It speaks of wine. The labels are classy, eye-catching, tells you everything. Yeah, it's great.
It's the branding of the non-alcoholic that you have to carry that baggage. You have to keep hitting people over the head with it. This is for those of you who don't wish to drink wine but wish to drink wine.
Correct.
And they're beautifully made as wine.
Yes. They all start out as wine originally, and then the process is vacuum distillation. This process is perfected in Germany, and all of our products are vacuum distilled.
So what are they liking this year? What's the reaction been?
It's been great. People are very curious, and they know that they need them on their wine lists, and it's going to happen. It's the year it's going to happen.
And the Piquette is still there?
Yeah, the Benjamin Bridge Piquette. So this is the only product that was never wine originally, but we all know Benjamin Bridge from the Gaspereau Valley in Nova Scotia. And so this
is Jean-Benoit Delaurier.
That is correct. JB, as we like to call him. And so this is a delicious little wine beverage. So using some grape skins that from the vineyards, some sea salt, some dried hops, and some citrus, and it's delicious.
Who's? Let me see if I can focus this. Who is this? A feminine lean? Is it is there an age group?
No, multi-generational. So we're seeing people that are 18 to 30 years old that are not interested in drinking alcohol at all. We're seeing people in recovery. We're seeing people that are training for a marathon, that are health and fitness oriented, taking a break. It spans so many generations and genders, it's not even funny.
So I know I should ask about price points on these sparkling wines.
All the sparkling wines should be between $23 and $26 on the shelf.
So competitive.
Competitive. Competitive for the category for bubbly.
If you put that on a table, people are going to reach for that sparkling rosé because they love the look of it.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
And if you poured it for the entire table, they wouldn't know.
They wouldn't know. We fool people all the time. Blind tastings. I did it at a brunch once, and I was like, does somebody want a mimosa with or without alcohol? And everybody said, just fool us. Just let us know. And people that thought they had alcohol did not have alcohol. So it's a great way to keep people inclusive.
How can we find these products?
So you can go to our website, softcrush.ca, and there's a stockist list of where all the products are sold, and that's probably the best way to find us.
Fantastic. I got to taste something.
Great.
That in particular.
Fantastic. Let's do it.
I'm pouring at the Thompson Scott Naughty Organic Sparkling Rosé.
Cool.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Unsworth Vineyards is pleased to be part of this year's Cowichan Wine Festival Passport-style tasting event held this year in the month of June. In addition, they will be part of an evening tasting party at Brentwood School August 4th, where you can taste all of the participating wineries in one go under a summer starlit night by the ocean. Details at unsworthvineyards.com.
Tasting Room Radio has been presented by Harbor Air, a vital translink on the coast and a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. HarborAir.com.